Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
As we get going this morning, let me ask you just a quick question. What are you passing on to those that are under your influence? Now, those under your influence, obviously, is your family, your kids, your spouse. If you're married, it's those that, it's your friends, it's your neighbors, it's the people that you do life with, it's your co-worker. But what are you passing on to those that are under your influence? One of our values here at Life Point Church is that each generation needs to look to grow and to grow others. And so how are you doing that? When I think about that question, when I think about my life, I do think about my mom, who is in a care home over in Newton, as many of you know our story. 3 weeks after we moved here, we moved my mom here. As things unfolded in our life, that emergencies happened, and so we arrived, and then we brought my mom here, who has Alzheimer's and dementia, and she's been living in the Presbyterian Manor over in Newton, weeks after we moved here. And so, but when I think about my mom, I think about her work ethic. As my parents were divorced when I was in sixth grade, they got divorced, and she owned my parents owned a delivery business when they got divorced, and so they split the business, and my dad took half of it, and he was like kind of a UPS type of business, and so he was doing that. My mom took the other half. She took the half that was delivering research animals to various University of Colorado, different hospitals, and so my mom would go to the airport and pick up like rats, and she would pick up monkeys and mice and just a whole assortment of things and deliver those things. And one time she a big blizzard hit in Colorado, and she couldn't make it back to where she needed to go, so she got stranded. She had to get a hotel room, and she's like, I can't leave these research animals out in the van. How many of you are like, I don't care, I'm leaving them out in the van, right? But she moved them in to her hotel room. She put them the hotel people didn't know, obviously, but moved them in, set them in the, they're all boxed up, put them in the bathroom, shut the door, and she could hear them all night long, doing that. But my mom, and she had this incredible work ethic as a single mom to provide for her kids and put up with her rambunctious youngest child, which is me, to support us. She was determined. She was a lady of determination. We didn't have much, but she always made a way to do what we needed to have to go to the next phase of life. When I think about my wife, I think of a quiet prayer warrior. It's like I always would, not that our boys ever did anything too crazy or too upsetting, but I can always remember, man, there'd be times I'd say, hey, don't fight it. Don't fight, your mom's praying for you, just surrender now. Just, give up the ghost. Just do it. She's a confident conviction she holds, an empowering confidant, always by our side, always cheering us on that, you can do this thing. What has been passed down to you? What has rubbed off on you? Sometimes there are unfortunate characteristics that we emulate, right? Do you ever find yourself going, oh my goodness, I just sounded like my mom, or I just sounded like my dad, And sometimes it's the positive characteristics. You're like, man, I want that one. And we pass those down to our kids, or we pass that off to other people that we're influenced. So the other day, Caleb and I were hollering back and forth in the house. He was downstairs, I was upstairs, and I was like, come on, let's go, let's pick it up. And Robin, like, looked at me, and she was like, she got these big old, like, saucer eyes, and she's like, oh my god, that was scary. You guys sounded exactly alike. I said, thank you very much, right? But beyond recipes, beyond china, beyond quilts that you may pass on, what is it that people are learning from you? What is it that you're grafting into them? What's been grafted into you by others? When I think about Mother's Day, I think about, you know, obviously we think about Hallmark cards, and I was at the store earlier this morning, so I grabbed a card because I was late, and Robin gets a bad deal because her birthday is always like on or days before Mother's Day, and so it's like, but Mother's Day, here's some cards that I thought were funny, all right? Mother's Day, one card, right, says, Mother's Day, Happy Mother's Day to the one who cleaned my face with her spit. How many of you ever had a mom do that? Hey, son, come here. You know, right? I mean, like, Family Feud napkin? I'm like, right? That's what I remember. Good moms let you lick the brownie mixer beater. Any moms? Great moms turn it off first. It isn't easy being a mom. If it were, dad would have done it. Going on. Here's a Mother's Day card from your son, bought by your daughter-in-law. I like this one, though. You were right, literally, about everything. And all the ladies in the house said, mm-hmm, right? So we celebrate moms today, we celebrate ladies in the house, but go with me if you would, if you're not there yet, to 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning as we celebrate moms, but also I want to talk to all of us about passing on a legacy. Chapter 1 verse 5 says this, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I'm sure, dwells in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. The Apostle Paul, if you don't know who he is a writer of about three-quarters of the New Testament. So 75% of the New Testament is written by the Apostle Paul. He's a man that went on three missionary journeys, propagating the gospel across Asia Minor, a warrior for the kingdom of God, an incredible influencer, but a man who was passionate about his faith because Jesus changed his life. In Acts chapter 16, you read about when Paul met Timothy, right? And Timothy would eventually become a pastor of a great church in Ephesus. A major, significant church, but it was a church that was surrounded by pagan idolatry. Ephesus was a wicked city in its day. And Paul writes to Timothy, a young man, to encourage him. He is surrounded by difficulty, right? He is in a culture that is very hostile and very, in some ways, unfamiliar with the gospel because the gospel's new. But the gospel's penetrating that culture, but Timothy needs to be built up to keep on going. And Paul, with a heart to encourage Timothy, is writing Timothy from prison. Let me just say this as a sidebar to the message. Paul is writing from prison. Don't let your environment that you find yourself in, no matter what it is, that environment that can be discouraging, i.e. Paul's writing from prison, take away your voice from calling greatness out of people. Right. Amen. I think about my mom, I think about Robin doing that for me. And here's our first thought, all right? We're going to move fast through these. The first thought is that just focusing on the foundation of faith. Verse 5, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. That word sincere there, Timothy, you have a sincere faith. Lois and your grandma had it too. Lois, her name means God is better. Eunice, her name means God is victorious. Timothy, his name means God is honored. Did you notice what's missing in that text, though? There's no mention of a father. We will talk about that in a moment, but Paul draws attention to Timothy's sincerity, and that Paul first saw this manifesting in the life of his mom and his grandma. That word sincere it means to be without pretense. It means to be to not be hypocritical. It's genuineness in faith. And so it's the idea of, man, there's nothing fake, there's nothing phony, there's nothing filtered, there's nothing photoshopped about grandma's faith, about mom's faith. It's genuine. It's the real deal. And as our vision statement says up on the wall under each one of those, is that it would be authentic. It's the real deal. And that word sincere in the Latin means without wax. And so it takes us to the marketplace, and I don't know if you've ever been to, maybe you're on a trip, you're on a cruise, some of you guys are getting ready to go on a cruise here, and you come to a port, and they let you off, and you go to the shops, you go to the marketplace, and there you have the opportunity to barter, right? And you look at different things, you come into one shop, and you're like, man, they have Nikes here. Check out these Coach purses. Check out these Ray-Ban sunglasses, and you're like, holy cow, this is awesome. They have them here too. And you look at the price, and you're like, a pair of Ray-Bans for $5? This is great. Or a Coach purse for like $12? And you're like, wait a minute, what's up with this, right? Are these the real deal? I remember going to Mexico, and I was, I don't know if it was true or not, but I bought into it that you go and we were looking for jewelry, and they're like, hey, make sure that there's a stamp on the jewelry that says like 957, because if it has the stamp on it, that means that it's real gold. If it doesn't have the stamp, it's going to turn your neck green in about 2 days. And so whether that was legit or not, but you think about the fake Coaches, the fake Nikes, all that stuff. Well, in Bible times, that word sincere was used to describe tableware, pottery. That it was sincere. Up on the signs of many shops, it would have this word sincere, meaning without wax. That when you fire the pottery, sometimes it would come out and have cracks. And what they would do is they would rub wax over the crack to cover it, and then they would paint it, and then you wouldn't know. But then when you go home and you pull the T-bone steak off the grill and you put it on that plate and it melts the wax, and then you go in you cut the steak and you get into the plate, and all of a sudden it just falls apart, right? And Paul is saying, listen, be without wax. You have a sincere faith. Your grandma, your mom has this sincere faith. Nothing's hidden, nothing's covered up. It's the real deal. Paul says to Timothy, let me tell you about your grandma's faith. It's sincere. Let me tell you about your mom's faith. It's sincere. Nothing covered over, genuine. It's the real deal. And then Paul uses this word dwelt. This faith dwelt in your mom. It dwelt in your grandma. And now it dwells in you, Timothy. What is Paul doing? He's reminding Timothy of the legacy of his faith, reminding him of the shoulders that he is standing on, right? For some of us in this place, we are like first level, starting a new legacy. Others of us, man, we're like third, fourth generation carrying on this legacy of faith. For others of us, man, we need to stand on your shoulders, because the legacy that you've been a part of, and you need to do some adopting maybe in the house. They not only had a faith, but they shared their faith. This idea of dwelt means make it home. How many of you unpack your suitcase when you travel and you use the drawers in the hotel room or the Airbnb or wherever you're staying, or your guest home that you're at? You're just like, man, I am moving in. How many of y'all do, you're like, I'm moving in, I don't want to live out of a suitcase, right? And so you unpack and you dwell there. Paul is saying, Timothy, your mama, your grandma, your meemaw, whatever, just didn't have a temporary faith or a convenient faith. They had a faith that was an at-home faith. They had a faith that our house is your house type of faith. They had a faith that was an at-home faith, unpacked, lived in, lived out, used, experienced. And when we think about this faith that was passed on to Timothy, we see that it was a saturated faith. Steve, what do you mean by that? Look at it. Verse 16, 2 Timothy 3:16 says this. Very familiar passage of Scripture if you've been around church at all, but it says this, speaking of this book, all Scripture is given by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, right? But do you know what verse 15 says? Verse 15 says this, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. In other words, Timothy, remember what your mom spoke into you. Remember what your grandma spoke into you. That they were acquainted, they taught that relationship, not just a head knowledge, but that of a heart. That mom and that grandma would go to temple and they would hear the word of God and they would take it in, but then they would take it home and they would speak it into Timothy's life. They would model it to Timothy's life. Let me ask you a question. We mentioned him earlier, but where's Timmy's daddy? Because that deposit into the kid was supposed to be the dad's job. And dad's nowhere to be found. We don't know if he passed away, if they were divorced, or maybe he was just, you know, a selfish dad, not doing that and living for himself. He was an absent father. We don't know, but these two ladies filled in the gap. His dad was a Greek. Acts 16 tells us that. But this mom and this grandma took on the priority of raising Timothy spiritually, to which I commend all the ladies in the house that you find yourself doing that. And we want to champion you, and whatever we can do to come alongside you, we want to do that for you. It reminds me of a story that I heard of as our graduates today are in the house and they're getting ready to leave for college. Some of them will get ready to leave for college in a few months, but it reminds me of a story of a young man who was getting ready to go off to college, and before he left, mom and dad called him in and sat him down and said, "Hey son, we have a gift for you. We want to give you this Bible. And as you leave us and you head off to college, man, please, 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 open up this Bible and read it. Get into the Scripture because it will help you guide your life. It will help you make wise decisions that will benefit you not only for today but for your future. Please, take this Bible and read it, son." So he was like, "Yeah, great, mom. Thanks for the Bible. Thanks, dad, for the Bible. I'll do so. Can't wait to go off to school. It's going to be so awesome." And after some time, the son began to text mom and dad, "Send money. I ran out." And mom would text the Bible verse back to her son. That's all she would say. John 3:16. And a couple days would pass by. He would text again, "Mom, I need money. Please send money." And mom would text the Bible verse back, John. Or Romans 8:28. Go on, back and forth. She texts Ephesians 6:10. Finally, he arrived home for Thanksgiving and sat down, came into the kitchen, and he's like, "Mom, I about didn't make it home. I hardly had any money to get home." And she looked at her son and she said, "Son, have you been reading your Bible?" "Oh, mom, you know, yeah, man, I have that Bible right, it's right on my nightstand there in my dorm. It's right there, yeah." And mom looks at her son and says, "Don't lie to me in my kitchen, son." How many know you're in trouble if that comes out of your mom's way, right? "Don't lie to me in my kitchen." She said, "Because I know you're not reading your Bible, because I would text Scripture to you. And if you would have opened to John 3:16, if you would have opened to Romans 8:28, if you would have opened to Ephesians 6:10, you would have found a $10 bill, a $20 bill, or a $50 bill, or a $100 bill, or maybe a check with your name on it with an open amount. Son, I know you didn't read your Bible. Some of you are like, man, where's... right? Lois and Eunice were trying to tell Timothy there is power in God's word. Don't just get in the word, let the word get in you. Don't define the verses, let the verses define you. And Paul recognized the deposit that had been made in Timothy, and he stood out. When I talk to administrators or teachers in our school district, I'll often hear them say, oh man, that kid is such a good kid. Those great family. And I want to say, do you know why? Most of them I want to say, you know why? Because I know mom and dad have deposited this within the life of that kid, and they get it. Paul appoints him to lead a church. Something happened, though, between verses 5 and 6. Look at it. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. What happened, Timothy? I have to remind you of some things, Timothy. What happened? Timothy, I have to remind you of the fire. There was a fire burning. Timothy, let me blow on those embers for a moment. So that takes us to the next thought this morning, is just the fervency in faith. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. As Paul is sitting there in that prison cell, thinking about his son in the faith, he says, Timothy, don't forget what was spoken into you, what was deposited into you. Living for Jesus in this time and reign wouldn't have been easy for Paul and Timothy. The young upstart church standing against a culture that was lost and dark, man, it was costly. Nero lighting Christians on fire or being fed to lions, that was like the norm of the day, right? We're not talking about someone being mean and making a harsh comment on a social media page, right? I mean, this was an intense time where we're talking about young men facing persecution and death threats, speaking against the culture of the day. And what happens when you're in a battle? What happens when those things are buffeting up against you all the time? Man, you get weary, don't you? Your fire can wane. Have you ever been there? You get discouraged, perhaps. I mean, the critics around him began to suppress the call within him. And Paul begins to call out of him that which God had put within him. Timothy, I need to stir. You need to stir up the gift of God within you. You need to fan into flame that which is within you. You need to blow on that ember, Timothy. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to let the wind of the Spirit reignite you. Fan that flame that you got from your mom and your grandma. But you know what? Paul wasn't calling Timothy out. He was calling him up. Remember what you heard. Remember, Timothy, where you came from. Just because it's hard doesn't mean God isn't in it. Fan the flame. Don't let the fire die because you have faced hardship, Timothy. There's a gift within you. So we have the foundation. We have the fervency of faith. Let me just speak lastly to the fortitude of faith. Verse 7. For God has given us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Fear, that word is timidity or cowardness. Timothy, I'm reminding you of your mama. I'm reminding you of your grandma. And what the council of the elders spoke over you as they laid their hands upon you and called you to this role of pastoring this great church. They spoke prophetically over you, Timothy. Remember that. God spoke into you, and just because it got hard, just because it wasn't convenient, and some people blasted you, Timothy, I need you to know, this isn't about trying harder or doing better. But there is power in the Holy Spirit within you. And the Holy Spirit has given you power. The Holy Spirit has given you love. The Holy Spirit has given you self-control, Timothy. You can do this thing. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is alive within you, Timothy. Be reminded of that. This is about tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit who is alive within you. Love them, Timothy. When they mock you, bless them. When they say, hey, Jesus follower, walk with me a mile, go with them too. When you see that person that's destitute and broken, and they need a garment, give them your jacket, Timothy. Power, love, and that same Spirit that gives you, those two gives you the self-control. When you get pushed enough, how many know you have to have some control, right? When you bump up against the barrier enough, you have to have some self-control, don't you? You need the Holy Spirit to give you self-control so you don't go Medea on somebody. That self-control is sober-mindedness. It's the guardrails, it's the buffers that all of us need in our life. And I think about this, just how it plays out, and in the area, let me just pull from this. I mean, there's so many different areas I could pull from, but let me just pull from the area of sexual purity. Robin and I, from the beginning of our marriage, I mean, obviously before we were married, just making conscious decisions in holding each other accountable prior to being married, but then when we got married, I mean, we were like, hey, you know, we, from mentors and just from wisdom and because of roles in ministry, we were like, listen, we're not riding in cars with the opposite sex just by ourselves. Even, I can remember when we were in Goodland and we were pastoring there, and I was at the church, and this dear, she was old enough to be my mom, if not my grandma. And she's like, hey, well, you can ride with me. And I'm like, no, I can't. And it seems maybe silly, but I was like, look, you know what? It just takes one person to say something, you know, and not give the full story or whatever. So we would just say, here's guardrails, avoiding appearances of compromise, right? Several months ago, this individual came into the church, and I was in here. Sarah was in her office, and this person needed help, and she was a lady that, just looking at her, you knew that she had made bad decisions in her past and had made another one, and she needed some help, and she lived on the south side of town and was out of gas and had spent all her money at the local community betterment location called the casino. And needed to get the truck that she was driving, which she more or less had stole from the individual lane, keeping that person from going to work because she went and played the whatever they have there. And so she's here and she's asking for help. And so I said, tell you what, meet me at Casey's. I'll drive over there, and I'll meet you there. We'll put some gas in your car and you can get back to the south side. And so I pull up, and her outfit was not, we'll just go on, right? Appropriate. And so I'm standing there at the pump, and she's thanking me, and she's expressing gratitude, which is super cool. And she was like, you know, I would just like to give you a hug. Can I give you a hug of thanks? And I'm like, the way you're dressed, no. And the fact that I'm out here in front of Casey's, I could just see someone driving by. Hey, I saw Pastor Steve hugging a lady out in front of the gas company that had leopard skin yoga pants on. I put out that flame, right? And I'm like, no, hey, I appreciate your gratitude, but I'm busy pumping gas, sorry, right? And so anyway, long story, just avoiding those things. You can think of just with our boys, encouraging them to walk with purity and continuing to do so. And their mom asking and encouraging, hey, you like that girl? You like her? You being wise with her? I mean, mom getting up all in her boy's business. And I'm just sitting at the table going, yes. Now, why do I mention this? Because when you don't think you can go on, no matter what the issue is that you need self-control in, when you don't think you can walk it out, be it purity, be it faith, be it obedience, whatever, know you have some people cheering you on. That's what Paul's doing for Timothy. Hebrews 11 talks about this great cloud of witness cheering us on, right? But Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, fan into flame that faith your mom and your grandmother put in you. They believe in you. They have spoken over you, and they're cheering you on. Fan into flame, Timothy, the gift of God within you. It'll be worth it, says the guy who's in prison. We stand on the shoulders of people who believed in us way before we believed in ourselves, for some of us. Some of us here today, you don't even believe in yourself. There's people in the room, there's a Heavenly Father that believes in you. Look, we don't know what the future holds, right? It's a crazy world. It's crazy times. Robin and I have been in multiple meetings this week, people not connected with LifePoint Church, man, that were hard, some of them were crazy, some of them laced with brokenness. Paul, knowing that his death is imminent, that he's going to be martyred for being a follower of Christ, Timothy not knowing if that would happen to him, but history recounts for us that he was martyred in the city that he pastored in by the Roman Emperor Nerva. How did these two stay faithful? How did they leave such a legacy that you and I stand here this morning and we give 30 minutes or 40 minutes talking about them? For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. What's the point today? The greatest legacy is not what we leave for people. Okay? The greatest legacy is what you leave in people. That's the greatest legacy. Let me leave you with three questions this morning to consider. Where am I letting my identity be determined? By anything or anyone other than God? Second question. What is God asking me to do today? And what purpose should I be leaning into? And I like this last question. Why am I playing it safe? Where could I step out? Where could I be courageous and be a dangerous daughter or son for the Lord at? Father God, as we ponder those questions, question of identity, what's determining my identity? Is it by anything or anyone other than you? God, the question of what are you asking of me today? What's my purpose? What should I be leaning into? And lastly, why am I playing it safe? Where do I need to step out? What are you asking me to do, Father God? Where do I need to trust you? Lord, just as Timothy needed to recall that deposit that was made within him. There's times and seasons in our life where we need to do the same. God, we thank you for the legacy that has been spoken into, that has been modeled for us, sincerity of faith that has been lived out before so many of us in this room. God, may that legacy continue through our lives. God, that you'd be honored. God, that our family, that our friends, that our colleagues would have a similar report of us as Paul gave of Lois and Eunice and of Timothy as well. God, we love you. And as we ponder our commitment to you and our heart for you, Lord, hear the cry of worship. If there's anyone here in this place this morning that they're like, man, I want to begin a new legacy of faith. I've been living for myself. I've been doing it my way. And just, Lord, I want to be strong in you. I want to know you. I want to have the determination and the resolve that I've seen by sincere Christians that I've bumped into. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. And Lord, here I am today on Mother's Day at Life Point Church, and I've never allowed you to be my Lord and Savior. Today I want to do that. If that's you in this place, you've never asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you've never made a commitment to follow him and to ask him to forgive you of your sins, which he did on the cross, and to put you in right relationship with God, then you have that opportunity to do that. Don't wait to make that decision to a later date. Do it today. Make it here. And if you want to do that, and we want to cheer you on in that, we want to talk to you about that. And I would love to have the privilege of just talking with you about that. So before you leave, or if you're here with someone that's solid in the faith, that has been a great example, talk to them. What's it mean to follow Jesus? I want to know God. I want to be forgiven of my sin. And they'll talk to you about it. Would you stand with me, church? As we ponder those three questions, let's step towards him in worship and let's respond appropriately.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.